Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1.
Week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we've got DK. Welcome, DK.
Thanks a lot, Nate.
Hey, you're on the road today. Where are you today?
So are you. I think this is the first time that we have not been on the road together, but we are on the road in separate locations.
That is true. One of us is back at home base, and the other is off doing something, but this week we are both in different states, and either of our own states.
Pretty funny. I think this is the first time we've done this, actually.
Yeah, I believe so. So yeah. Where are you?
I am in sunny Albuquerque, New Mexico, for the 2022 State of the Space Industrial Base Workshop. It is a conference, an annual conference hosted by New Space New Mexico, the U.S. Space Force, the Defense Innovation Unit, and the Air Force Research Laboratory. And it's basically an opportunity for the government to meet with industry and talk about how are we doing with regards to the space economy, development of space capabilities, and looking at not just near term, but longer range national strategic capabilities. So it's a great conference. It's not super large. It's like 300 plus people here, but it's been growing every year, and it's growing in importance because the output of the conference is actually a written report that goes out to Space Force and to Congress that kind of gives a report card on where we are with the space economy. So this year's title is called Sustainability and Prosperity, Winning the New Space Race.
Wow. Okay. And it is in New Mexico. One would have thought it would have been someplace other than New Mexico, but you know, New Mexico does have the, their vertical, is it vertical launch takeoff for space?
No,
as well?
Horizontal launch. They've got Spaceport, New Mexico. It's actually the home of Virgin Galactic Virgin Galactic. Yep. Yes. It's the home base for them. They also do a lot of work with the University of New Mexico. But the reason the conference is here is because the Air Force Research Lab actually is a significant sponsor of this event. Colonel Felt is here talking, and they are the ones kind of pushing this agenda. And then DIU got involved a few years ago. And then Space Force actually has quite a presence here in Albuquerque at Kirtland Air Force Base. Both AFRL and Space Force are at Kirtland.
Okay, you're doing it again. Hold on. Step back. DIU. What is DIU?
Defense Innovation Unit. I said it a second ago.
Not together.
Yeah, I did when I introduced them. But yes. So there's okay. There's a lot of people may not know this, but there's actually a lot of space activity happening here in New Mexico, has been for centuries. You know, you have White Sands Missile Range, where the first nuclear test occurred. That's right, you know, west of here. You got White Sands Missile Range, which is actually an extension of Fort Bliss, Texas, which is in El Paso, Texas. White Sands, I think, is the largest test range in the United States. And then you've got Sandia Labs here. You have, as I mentioned, AFRL, Space Force. You got Space Rapid Capabilities Office here. You've got the Navy, or sorry, the Air Force Nuclear Weapons Labs, the nanotechnology labs, all kinds of cool stuff that is related to the space, huh?
They have a lot of labs there, which they always surprises me. That's something that I don't really think Colorado has a lot of. I think we've got one or two up there.
Yeah, they actually have, I think, the most out here. So there's a lot of movement here in New Mexico. And the other thing, the host of this event is New Space New Mexico. It's a relatively new organization. I think they've been around probably 3-4 years, maybe, at the most. Yeah. And their mission is to accelerate the pace of space innovation, getting direct and faster access to the right connections, resources, customers, and collaborations needed to succeed in less time. So that's where the fit is with AFRL, the Air Force Research Lab. They leverage New Space New Mexico to help them find new technologies that they can quickly integrate into the Air Force / Space Force. So that's kind of the connective tissue there. They also have a co-working lab space called the Launch Pad, and they have a co-working space called the Q Station. So if you are interested in doing business with Space Force, with AFRL, with Space RCO, with other organizations here in New Mexico, connect with New Space New Mexico. To join their alliance is free. There are some sponsorship, options and all that, but to join the alliance is free. And then once you're in the alliance, they host events like this one. They also are partnered with the Professional Aerospace Contractors Association, PACA, which hosts the briefing for industry every year. The next one's going to be, I think it's August 15 to 19 here in Albuquerque, where they bring all the organizations in Kirtland out to the Hotel Albuquerque, and they all give pitches on kind of what they got going on. So that's another good event. So between that event and the State of the Space Industrial Base workshop, those are the two major activities here in New Mexico. Nice. But again, you can use their spaces. So we, the smalls, actually have access to the co-working spaces down here, as well as the lab. The lab's building out right now. AFRL's part sponsor, so there's going to be hyperbaric chambers in there, or HVAC chambers, and other things. So right now it's kind of a big open warehouse space, but they're adding more and more tools in there, kind of as things progress and people need it.
And we've attended. They also have their T5 there, right?
Right. So every month they have a third thirsty. Yeah, every month on Thursday they have the third thirsty Thursday Tech Talk, T5. And then PACA also has their luncheons on that Thursday now too. So they're combining it. So you can have a lunch in the midday, and they'll bring in a guest speaker from the base. And then they have the New Space New Mexico happy hour that evening, where they bring in speakers from the different companies. So you can do networking at both activities.
Nice.
And they've aligned that now. Yeah. So again, lots of opportunities down here in New Mexico. It's just kind of exploding. I think for this whole space industry, as I'm listening to the Space Industrial Base talks, and I'll talk about that here in a second, but we are still at the beginning of the new space race, going to Mars, going to the moon, cislunar, you hear that term a lot. That's the stuff dealing with the moon. And then you've got the whole Mars thing and beyond. And they're talking now, there's some company here that's like doing, Starship 100, where they're talking about, 100-year flight out to the other galaxies and stuff like that. And they're going that far, but they're talking about having space stations up there in orbit within the next couple of years. There's several companies here, Axiom and Orbital, I can't remember the name, but they're actually building space stations now that they can put up there within 2 years. So they're telling the government, hey, we're set, we need your help. And they're like, well, we're not ready for you. And they're like, okay, but we're going to go anyways. So they're talking to SpaceX and Blue Origin and some of these other companies, and they're moving forward with this stuff. Pretty amazing.
That it is. It's very cool. I don't know how many or how long before we actually get there. But like you said, I think commercial is pushing no matter what because of the value in it, not only for sending people up into space and the travel industry, But I think that also pushing for the mining industry is what the big push is right now as well.
Mining, that's probably resources, natural resources. And then just the space race, you know, we had – so I was going to talk a little bit about the agenda for the conference down here. They had people come in and talk about, you know, what are some of the threats or the challenges or the folks that are kind of moving ahead in China. You know, they want to be the predominant power by, I think it's 2040, 2045, but they also want to be the predominant space power. They already have a space station going up, if not up already. They are planning to go to the moon here soon, also put a lunar village on the moon, and they also want to do deeper space exploration. So they're moving forward with it. They have a strategic plan. That's one of the issues, is that really the U.S. doesn't really have a plan. Matter of fact, the outcome of last year's report was we are tactically strong, but strategically fragmented. So at the tactical level, we have all kinds of stuff happening, all kinds of good things working. I talked to you about Star Harbor, this new training, commercial space and astronaut training center that's going to be built in first Colorado, but then other states and internationally. That's in place. You know, you got suborbital stuff happening. SpaceX is going to do a suborbital transport point-to-point flight test here in the next month or two, where they're going to fly from Texas around the world and land here at Spaceport New Mexico in 90 minutes. So they're trying to...
Yeah, that's SpaceX, right?
Yep, that's happening. Yeah. So there's just all this cool stuff. So the areas that the conference is really focused on, there's six of them. The one is hybrid space communications. That's a big deal. Nate, you and I know that there is no GPS, there's no SATCOM, there's no infrastructure on the moon. So that's, you know, being built.
At least not from us. Right. China, on the other hand, they may have something up there by now on the dark side.
So that's one of the working groups that's meeting. The other one is in-space transportation and logistics. So how do you move things between the Earth and the moon, and then the moon and beyond? You know, you're going to need all the things you have here on Earth. You're going to need data centers. You're going to need fueling sites. You're going to need Orbit Fab is here. They're actually building the first on-orbit fueling station. That's going up here soon. They're working with a company called Astroscale. And by the way, I got to tell you a cool story, Nate. You and I helped connect Orbit Fab with Astroscale, all because of the gas pump fittings.
I know, it's awesome.
And Space RCO. I had them all together in a room yesterday. I had them in a room yesterday, and it was awesome. So in-space transportation and logistics. The other group is next generation power and propulsion. So that's another big area that people are trying to figure out. You know, how do we do power and propulsion? Solar, nuclear, they're talking nuclear again, really big.
You know,
fusion. Go ahead.
Hold on real quick. I attended one of the demo days at Catalyst Campus in Colorado Springs. This was about 6 months ago. They had demos on, they weren't part of the demo days, but they brought third parties in just to give some demos as well. Yeah. And these demos were based on different types of propulsion in space, and they're working heavily on water and hydrofusion.
Yep,
it's very interesting stuff.
I just met with I don't want to say her name. She's the COO of Cis Lunar Industries, a company based out of Golden, Colorado, and they are actually doing metals for space and fabrication of metals in space. Again, just some cool stuff that's happening. So let's see, next generation power propulsion was one. They brought in some people to talk about Ukraine and how, you know, Maxar is here and Black Sky talking about how they're using social media and space generated imagery to verify things happening on the ground and getting that information out almost near live. So that was another cool thing, kind of sidebar. They're looking at, remote sensing and traffic management. So kind of in that line, you know, what remote sensors are we going to use? How do we manage the traffic in space and around the Earth? As everybody knows, there's tons and tons of satellites going up every day. You know, Starlink, I think, is now completely covered the globe, but they're talking about tens of thousands of satellites sometime here in the future. The other one is the workforce education and STEM. That's been huge. Everybody's hurting for talent. They're going down into the high school levels even, but then colleges. University of New Mexico's here. They got a huge aerospace program. They also have a lab here that If you're a small business and you want an academic partner, the University of New Mexico Aerospace Engineering Program is looking for projects. They have the Cosmiac. Sorry, it's a weird name. Cosmiac, which is a lab that you can work with students. It's another kind of co-working space, and it's co-located with New Space New Mexico's launch pad. So they're co-located, so you can kind of do a combined effort with New Space New Mexico, AFRL, and University of New Mexico simultaneously. And then the last group is the policy and finance, talking about, you know, what changes in policy need to happen still. And then on the financial side, where do you get the finances from? Where can you get the income from? One interesting thing I learned was, you know, only about 10% of initial funding is from directly from venture capitalists. Typically, companies are getting money from grants or loans or self-generated funding. And then once they get that, they take that to the venture capitalists and go, hey, look, we've got, you know, customers that are interested in paying. We've got something started already. And if you give us some more money, we'll take it another step. So that's kind of the model that's going out there right now.
Now back to the show.
Well, welcome back, Dennis. We had some issues there. I'm pretty sure it was probably on your end because that's usually what happens.
All right.
So welcome back.
Well, it was a good time for a tech break, and Dennis was talking too much anyways. So it was a great opportunity for, you know, companies to meet other companies out here, as well as the government representatives. If you're in the emerging space market, which, again, is huge, highly recommend you get in there. And then the thing I was talking about last year, Nate, was just for you. The best thing of this whole conference is Danny's Rocket Ranch Space Salsa. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have found my niche. It's space salsa. So you know how you get that space ice cream? Well, he made it. He made that. He made salsa like that. So you get these freeze-dried packets. So,
really?
Yes, and it's a very good salsa. I taste tested it myself.
You know, I'm not the only one complaining about stomach issues. So I don't want to hear you complaining about stomach issues now.
I got the mild. As you and I know, the food in Albuquerque is great. However, it's very spicy. So this was pretty mild stuff. Good stuff. But he's selling space certified space salsa. That's Danny's Rocket Ranch. So if you want some of that, get it now while it's hot. You can go to Danny'sRocketRanch.com and get universe famous space salsa.
Universe famous. There you go.
Galactic.
This goes to prove you can call yourself anything.
Well, no, what it really goes to prove is, as I mentioned earlier, anything that is terrestrial is going to go into space, right? So they're trying to figure out how to do this, how to manufacture in space, how to grow crops in space. There was some lady here this morning I was talking to about growing algae in space so they can make a plastic out of, a biodegradable plastic, so that they can use that actually for manufacturing in space. And I thought, well, that is dang cool. And, oh, by the way, they may be able to eat it too.
That's so great. Well, once again, back down to Catalyst Campus, and I talked with a couple different companies, one which has invented a new technology to build items like antennas and stuff, 3D print while on orbit in space.
Yep.
Just 3D print new things. Yep. And that's looking into it more and more. That's what the space industry is about ready to do is, once we get to the point where we can start printing larger and larger items, we're just going to create 3D homes, or not homes, but places to stay while traveling in space.
So. Well, I think that's the big mental shift now. And that really, that's why I'm saying now is the time to get in this market, is because, you know, we're talking currently about having satellites and ground stations and all that kind of stuff, which we've had for decades. The shift here is we're now talking about in space stuff. We're talking about colonies on the moon, colonies on Mars, travel between the space station and the lunar station, mining asteroids, so putting stuff on asteroids and mining it, you know, mining the moon, maybe mining Mars, and so, and then beyond, right? So it's really in space. Matter of fact, the new hybrid architecture they're coming up with is not the internet. No, wait for it. The new term is the outer net. Yes, folks, the outer net is coming. Yes. And actually, the State of the Space Industrial Base report is now going to be called the State of the Space Industrial Base Vector Report, because they want to say, hey, we're already moving out. We've been doing it for several years now. Where are we on our vector towards meeting our goals in the future? So
I would say the outer net has already been there due to SpaceX and Starlink.
Yeah, but that doesn't go out. That goes in still. That's back towards Earth. Well,
do we know that it doesn't go out? I mean, all you have to do is rotate those CubeSats.
Yeah, yeah. There was talk about that. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but possibly. But then it doesn't go to the moon yet, right? So they're going to have to do relay stations and then actually build the lunar system on the moon.
So for those of you guys that know me, I am Dennis makes fun of me for being the bleeding edge tech or the tech guy. But I just installed my own Starlink at my house. And that is one of the big things that they're talking about. The whole point of Starlink is not just to, number one, first thing is just encompass the entire world in internet, right?
Yeah.
But it's also to provide internet on the moon and Mars. That's the exact same. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it'll be a similar system, right? Right. Oh yeah, they're you know, that's one of the discussion topics that's kind of been going around on the side. Was the government wants to do stuff, but the government's not really moving fast enough, and that the commercial industry is moving much faster than the government with regards to getting the technology finished and actually being able to, you know, to launch it. So if you look at, you know,
now back to the show.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Dude, what the heck, man?
I don't know. Okay, welcome back, Dennis. Let's start wrapping things up on this one. We're having technical difficulties today, apparently. Hello?
Now back to the show.
Today, because we're having the worst time with technical problems, I guess.
And you know, I say we have... Hey, we were just talking about all the space capability. My biggest concern is we can't even get this crap right on the Earth.
You know, once again, go back to Armageddon, the movie. You know, a million piece parts with all the rocket fuel sitting on top, all built by the lowest bidder, right? So good luck to the future astronauts.
Yeah. Amazing. Did you drop?
No, I'm still here. What does that sound like?
All right. Well, hey, Nate, thanks a lot for having me on today. And I look forward to talking to you next week, though. I will be in San Diego.
On the road once again.
Excellent. Well, let's do that. And maybe we'll get all of our technical difficulties figured out before then. So.
Well, I do have the kit, too, the remote kit, but we didn't use it. So next time we need to use it. Yeah, I will be at the Joint Navigation Conference. And again, the next event here in New Mexico is the PACA 3, which will be 15 to 19 August here at the beautiful Hotel Albuquerque. And I look forward to seeing you folks there if you're from the Rocky Mountain region. And it looks like it'll be a great event.
All right. Well, with that, we'll chat next week. This is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.